Certainly we thank God for another opportunity to be in his house. We give honor to Jesus Christ, to the precious personage of the Holy Spirit, to all pulpit affiliates, to our pastor Bill Swart Jr. in his absence, to elders and leadership of this great fellowship of believers. We certainly thank God for being here on another Sunday night. Why don't you reach over and grab somebody by the hand before we go to God for his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the person whose hand we're now holding. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would give them all that they stand in need of. Father, build them up where they're torn down. Bless them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father, we pray right now against the attack of the adversary and his demon hordes of hell. Satan, you can't control them. You can't confuse them. We speak healing into their life. We command their bodies to come in compliance with the word of God that says they're healed, they're delivered, they're set free from every sickness. Father, we stand on your word that says by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed right now. We believe it. Father, you said, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ. Father, we believe with our minds. We walk in faith, expecting our bodies to come in compliance with your word. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this place you've given us where we can worship in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that everyone that comes here will find green pastures, that they will find healing for their sin-sick soul. Father, deliver your people. Set those that are captive free. Father, we pray that you would take the brokenhearted, those that find themselves tossing to and fro in the night, and speak your peace into their life that passes understanding. We believe your word, Father. Send your word and heal your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we thank God for another opportunity to be here in his house. I want to talk briefly under the subject, worship God with your life. Worship God with your life. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about worship, but most people, when they talk about worship, has made it too small an experience. The idea of worship somehow has been corralled in the minds of some as to the time that we have in service prior to the message coming. That the worship is what the praise team leads us in, that we might come into the presence of God and worship for a little while and then we let that go. But if you look at scripture, you'll find that that's too small a definition of worship. That what God desires from us in terms of worship is that we do something on a much grander, larger scale. That we literally worship him with our lives. So if we're going to understand worship as a life experience and not just as a defined period of time prior to the message coming, we're going to have to reshape the way we see it. Let's go to the word. Romans 12 and 1 in the God Good News translation. The title heading under this is Life in God's Service. And it says this in verse 1. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. This is the true worship. Not just a moment in time where we sing a few choruses, a few hymns, a few praise and worship, but that you worship God with your life. All Christians need to cultivate a life of worship with God that is deepening and growing. If we're not growing, we're going to stagnate. The corporate worship of God's people is crucial and essential. But we need to understand that worshiping God with our life is a whole nother idea. Instead of this segmented idea of a specific period of time to worship, worship really is a whole life experience to the Christian that gets the revelation of it. We are to live our lives for God and under God. We should seek to have all that we do, watch this, all that we do become a part of our lifelong worship of God. Paul had an understanding of this kind of worship in mind when he wrote the profound words in the book of Romans. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Watch this. We talked about patterns this morning. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Why did he say that? Because the pattern of this world is not in life worship. The pattern of this world is to try to compartmentalize things, especially things they don't understand. So the definition of worship to this world is a few minutes before the message is preached or taught. You sing a few songs, and that comprises worship. Some people will tell you that's what it is. Paul says that's not worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, what is his pleasing and perfect will. So if we're going to do this lifestyle of worship, if we're going to worship God with our lives, then we have to understand some things. I'm going quickly. Worship is focusing my attention on God. If you're taking notes, worship is focusing my attention on God. Now, during the course of every day, you wake up in the morning, you have a choice of whether you're going to focus your attention on God or whether you're going to focus your attention on yourself. You have a choice. You have a choice when you get up in the morning. We have the Ohio graduation test starting tomorrow. Now, I want you to watch this example. I don't say this because of any puffed up nature. I just want you, as you're patterning to follow, you follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I have a test tomorrow that all throughout the week, reading, writing, math, science, and social studies, that's a big deal for students. A lot of students have to take that test all throughout the state. Whether they have their 21 credits or not, if they can't pass that test, they're not going to graduate. I will be up probably somewhere between 3:30 and 4 o'clock. I will go out to the school, and I will tread on every feet of that place in that building. I'll lay hands on the furniture. I will confess the word of God. I will speak the word of God both in knowledge, in understanding, and I will speak in tongues. I will prophetically declare victory over the test. Now, God doesn't, you know, you can't do anything in an unnatural way. We've been preparing the kids, right? You know, by studying, we've been preparing them by doing all of those things. But now we're preparing the atmosphere spiritually. Huh? We did this last year. We've been open 3 years. This is our fourth year. Last year, we were set apart, recognized by the state as a top 11 dropout prevention and recovery program in the state. All the other programs in that ranking, Brother Harvey, had been in business a whole lot longer than we had. That didn't matter. Probably had spent a whole lot more money on advertising, spent larger staffs, all of that. But when you get out in front of things with God and you say, Satan, you can't confuse these kids. Come on. Satan, you can't make them anxious. You can't make them nervous. You can't bring them here with a defeatist attitude. While some of them are still sleeping in their beds, we're already waging war on their behalf because of this test. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. But that's not just that one thing. That is how I approach things in this world, because there's so much at stake. You have the choice of focusing on self or focusing on God. Watch this. Romans 8, 7 and 8 in the Message says, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Romans 12, verse 2, the Message says, place your life before God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed. You'll be transformed from the inside out. You want to see God move in your life? Then you got to present your life to him as an act of worship. When you focus on God and focus your attention on him, you expect him to get involved in your life. Now, when you focus on yourself, then you place yourself in a position of authority. Now, you're responsible for how your life works out. You know, we can't focus the attention on ourselves and then wonder why God is not more actively involved in our lives. Amen? Point two, worship is expressing my affection for God. Mark 12 and 30 says, and you must love the Lord your God. This is your affection. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. With all your strength. When we're worshiping God with our lives, we're expressing our affection for God. Thoughtfully. Watch this if you're taking notes. Thoughtfully I'm doing it with my mind. I am worshiping God by loving him with my mind. I am loving him, expressing my affection passionately with my heart and my soul, and practically with my strength. I hear Brother Harvey saying for us to worship God, and a lot of people, once again, with a small-mindedness of what that means, have worshiped God by clapping their hands, which is part of it. That's the practical part of it. That's the physical part of it. They're worshiping by singing along with the singers. But you can't pat your hands, listen to me, you can't pat your hands as to be worshiping God physically. You can't pat your hands and stomp your feet as to be worshiping God practically, and your mind is somewhere else. You see that, Elder Wollum? You can't worship God practically by patting your hands and singing the verses when your passion really is, I wonder how much longer this is going to go, because really, I don't want to get to the buffet and all the good stuff be gone. Because that's what's occupying your passion. If you had your way, you cut this short so that you can pursue that which is really passionately driving you. That's why the scripture breaks it down for us to say, if we're going to worship, we need to express our affection before God, and we need to do it how? By loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The tripartite nature, the three-part nature of man, body, mind, and spirit, has to 100% be worshiping God, body, mind, and spirit. You can't go through the motions of clapping your hands when you getting your body over to worship, but your mind and spirit are somewhere else. Come on, tell me you see that. You got to worship God, body, mind, and spirit. That has to become your way of doing things, worshiping God with your life. So if you believe in that kind of worship, watch me now. I'm going back to this example of tomorrow. After I've gotten there early, laid hands on all the furniture, tread on the ground out there and said things like, everywhere where the soles of my feet tread are mine, huh? After I've taken authority over the adversary and told him he can't have this atmosphere, opened the way for God, even once the kids get there and start testing, I'll be worshiping in my inner man. I'll be walking around still in that mindset of treading on serpents, treading on the devil, taking and possessing, calling those things in my authority in the name of Jesus, taking authority over the adversary in the atmosphere. Huh? Body, mind, and spirit. See, when a lot of people say, well, Bill, they got rid of prayer in the school, so what do you do? I pray every day, so I don't know what you're talking about. They got rid of overt prayer. But see, when you understand worshiping God with your life, body, mind, and spirit, I can pray all day, every day. Huh? When you understand that you're worshiping God with your life, and that you're submitting your whole body to him, body, mind, and spirit, as a sacrifice, then you can pray all day, every day. Huh? When you're in a tough situation and you're dealing with somebody, you're not sure what to do, while they're talking, you're praying in your inner man. Huh? You're worshiping God, saying, what am I going to do, Lord? You're reaching out to him, and he's making it clear to you what he wants from you. Amen? So we got to focus our attention on God as worship. Amen? We need to give our affection to God. And third, we need to use our abilities for God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever may be your task, whatever makes it clear, huh? I mean, all of us are called to do something different in the house of God. All of us are called to do something different for God, both in our church service as well as when we're out in the world ministering. You understand that, Pastor Dan? So we have an opportunity to minister to people inside these walls and outside these walls. That's why he put this big whatever. Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily. The Amplified says, from the soul, as something done for the Lord and not for men. I could go in there and make this whole thing about the test a complete man thing, but when I understand that the only reason that I was able to go in middle school south, the last job I had before this one, and take this school from academic watch to school of excellence because of God. I honor that to him. My vocation becomes my invocation to him. I honor God by saying, I know that you tore down invisible strongholds that we might be successful. So I offer it up to him. So whatever may be your task in the house of God and out there in your vocation, right? At the gas station, at the beauty parlor, right? Out there inspecting homes. Whatever it is, do it heartily from the soul as something done from the Lord and not from man. He will use your abilities. I'm closing with this. Romans 12:1. In the Message says it this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping. Take your everyday, ordinary life. See, some of us think that we're only talking about things that happen in this house. You know, when I need to use my abilities is when I'm teaching the word. When I need to use my abilities is when we're down at the altar and I'm laying hands on people. He says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. When I'm in the line, I'm being led because somebody that's working the cashier line may be on the verge of giving up all hope. Huh? When I'm talking to parents about grades, I'm sensitive to what the Spirit is saying because there's a deeper issue at work here. Amen. When I'm talking to people out in the parking lot, somebody who's having problems with their car, I'm sensitive to what the Lord wants from me because my life is his completely and totally. You know, they can talk about it all they want to in government. You're going to be hard pressed to separate the minister, separate the pastor from the administrator of the school. I mean, you can try, but it all goes together because my life is one big sacrifice to God. And when we understand that, we understand that worship is not just a church thing. Yes, it is a church thing. We come here for corporate worship, but worship is not just a church thing. It's a whole life sort of thing where we give up our entire lives to God. Real worshipful living doesn't just happen in the church. It happens during ordinary, routine things that seem mundane to some people, but where incredible breakthroughs take place. We're called to worship the Lord with our lives. We need to focus our attention on God. We need to express our affection for God, and we need to use our abilities for God. And that comprises our worshiping God with our lives. I'm going to ask Sister Louise to come down. I want to pray about your daughter, I believe it is. Amen. I want to ask somebody to stand in for Minister Neesmith. I don't like it when she...